Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is my last day in my sixth week of teaching on God Wants You Well. And I tell you, we have covered some wonderful stuff. These things have changed my life. You know, I've seen my children healed. I've seen one of my sons raised from the dead after being dead for over 4 hours. I saw my wife. I don't know for sure that she was dead, but I think she stopped her heart. She fell and hit her chest. This is just in 2012, and stopped her heart, and she fell over, and it looked like she was dead. And anyway, because of these things, she came back to life. My son is back to life. I've seen myself healed. I tell you, my life would be different if it wasn't for healing. There are many of you that if you had known about healing, your life would have been different. You know, I have people come to me often and they'll say, I've been suffering with this for 20 years or whatever. And I'll say, well, that's 20 years too long. Because you don't have to suffer like that. It is God's will for you to be well. And that's what I've been teaching on. And I tell you, it has made a difference. I'm making these programs in advance, and I don't have all of the stats in front of me, but I just know in my heart what the Word has done for me. I've seen what it has done for other people, and I know that the Holy Spirit is taking these truths and making them come alive in people's hearts, and I know that there's going to be lots of people changed. Not only are bodies going to be healed, which that's awesome, but this builds your faith when you start seeing the supernatural manifestation of God's power in your own life. And it's going to draw many of you closer to the Lord. I could give thousands of testimonies of people who, because they've been healed, it just turned their whole life upside down or right side up. And it made them so aware that God's power is real and that they can depend upon Him. And it's changed their entire relationship. They've got a zeal and a joy about the Lord that they didn't have before. And conversely, I can tell you many people that I've talked to who have suffered with sickness for decades and have just struggled with things, and it has depressed them and discouraged them. There are people that commit suicide because of the pain that they feel. There's people that just basically check out. There's people that become drug addicts trying to cope with it. There's marriages that have been destroyed. I'm telling you, this is not an insignificant thing. I think it's important what we're doing. Let me just mention that these teachings that I have, if you get the CDs or the DVDs, there's four parts to this, and today is going to be my last day to offer you the third teaching in this four-part set. This third teaching is entitled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? And I've been ministering on this for a couple of weeks. So we're going to continue next week to go into talking about the law of faith. Now that's really significant, and I'll be dealing with that next week, but this is my last day to offer that third teaching. We have put a price on a whole package. We ask people to send a donation of any amount for some of these things. Some of these things have a price, but we've also been going through, and each day we will offer people one single CD free as a gift to you if you will just write in and request it. My partners have enabled me to do that. And today is my last day to offer this third teaching out of the four-part set as a gift. So if you are going to respond to it, you need to respond today. Now, I've been teaching all of this week about reasons why people aren't healed, and I've talked about one of them is because people just don't believe. There has to be some degree of faith present. And then the last 3 or 4 days, I've been talking about how that you can believe, but you could have unbelief present too, and that unbelief will counterbalance or negate, invalidate your faith. It will cancel it out. And so you have to get to where you believe only. You can't have any unbelief in your heart or any doubt. And then Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said that the way you get rid of this kind of unbelief, the kind that stopped the disciples from casting the demon out of this boy, is that you have to pray and fast. And on our program yesterday, I was sharing about why prayer and fasting will cause that kind of unbelief, which I call a natural unbelief, why that will cast that out. And it's because you have spent so much time worshiping God and loving God, communicating with Him in prayer, or you've been spending time in fasting, which is also another way of denying your physical senses, that you have become so aware of the spiritual realm that when you don't see something happen in the physical, it's no problem. You know that there's things going on behind the scenes in the unseen world. Did you know that the vast majority of people do not acknowledge the spiritual realm? Some do, but I'm saying the vast majority of people do not acknowledge it. Most of us have been raised to think that if you can't see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, or feel it, it doesn't exist. That's what the Bible calls carnal. But most of us just call that normal, natural. That's the way that it is. But the truth is, there is a spiritual world. There's not only a spiritual world out there, there's a spiritual world on the inside of you. There's a spiritual being on the inside. And most of us live our lives as only carnal, just in this natural realm. But when you start praying and fasting, you move beyond the natural realm. You move beyond food as being your source. And you realize that man can live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you can start drawing on the spiritual realm. And when you fast and when you pray on a consistent basis, you can train your flesh this way and you quit being carnal. You quit being limited to only what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. You recognize there's a spiritual world and you are able to go beyond these limitations. And I'm telling you, not very many people get there. Most people are just, in a sense, imprisoned in their feelings and emotions. And if they pray for like a healing in their body, and if they have a tumor and can't see the tumor gone, then most people right there, that's the end of it. They are going to be more controlled by what they see and what they feel than what God's Word says. How do you get beyond that? Jesus said this kind of unbelief only goes out through prayer and fasting. And I use this verse over in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. It says, strong meat, talking about maturity, belongs to those who by reason of use have exercised themselves to discern both good and evil. It takes time. It takes consistency doing this. You can't just do it one time and it lasts you for a month, a year, the rest of your life. You have to consistently start spending time in the spiritual realm, focused on God, worshiping Him, realizing that this physical world, even though I don't deny that it exists, I deny that that is all that exists. There is a spiritual world, a spiritual realm out there and in me, and I have become aware of it. And now when I don't see or feel something that lines up with the Word of God, I'm aware that there's more than just this physical. And I'm able to continue to believe and not let that unbelief stop me. You know what I want to do right now? I want to play another one of these healing testimonies that we have right here. And this one is on the birth of Benjamin Esau, a little boy. I'm in him. I got to hold him when he was just a little tiny baby. But I'm in his parents in South Africa. And they had when he was born dead. But because they had been believing God and spending time in the Word and praying and fasting, they were able to overcome what the doctor said and what they saw with their physical eyes, and they were able to see their son raised from the dead because of the very things that I'm talking about. It's a great illustration. So I encourage you to open up your heart, listen, and at the end of our program, we'll share with you how you can get this very Healing Journeys DVD that has Benjamin's testimony on here. It'll be a blessing to you. So watch this and be ready at the end of the program to write in and get all of these materials.
I was expecting a cry, but the room was quiet. You could basically hear a pin drop in that room.
There was no life in him. He wasn't breathing or anything.
Junaid looked at the baby and he told me there's something wrong.
I was born Muslim because my mother married a Muslim man. His name is Muhammad Esau. They separated when I was 2 years old. And at that point, my mother, I think she went back to being Christian.
I come from a Christian background and I basically grew up in a Methodist church, attended Sunday school there and all the Sunday school outings. but not really that personal. I knew there was a God, I knew about Jesus, but I never fully understood his love for me. I thought he only loves me on special occasions.
At 8 years old, my grandma put a Bible in my hand. And she said, "Junaid, I want you to read this," basically. And I read religiously for years and years. It was just me, my Bible, and God.
After a chance encounter with an evangelical preacher on a train, his message, "If you believe, you'll receive," led Junaid to Sower of the Word Church, where he met Kellyanne. A year later, they began their relationship. But God began calling Junaid to England. While there, he met Ian and Maria McDonald, two partners of Andrew Womack Ministries. They, in turn, introduced Junaid to the almost too good to be true news of the gospel.
I think that this is a starting place. Instead of thinking that God can do all of these things, but then you just, you know, struggle and you strive and you wonder, is God going to do this? It changes everything when you begin to understand that God has already provided everything for you by grace. And all faith is, it doesn't make God do something, it just reaches out and appropriates what He has already provided.
You know, I loved what he said. At the time, I was just hungry for the Word. I just wanted to be fed. I wanted to know my God. I wanted to know what He's all about. And the truths that Andrew spoke in there just spoke volumes to me. At the time, I heard a lot of people say, there's not a lot of people that would receive this message. And I thought, why not? It's the gospel.
And the gospel changed Junaid's life. After 2 years of renewing his mind to the truth, Junaid decided it was time to return to South Africa and the love of his life, Kellyanne.
When we got married, Junaid introduced me to Andrew Womack's teachings, and that revolutionized my life completely. I just felt kind of tired of playing church, if I can put it that way. I was just looking for something deeper, something real. I started questioning, searching the scriptures for myself, discovering staggering things.
And the two of us were listening to him, put it on my phone, and she would listen and I would listen. I'd put it on the TV and we would listen to what he was saying.
Because I've always been praying, "Lord, please bless me. Please give me this." Not realizing that he's already given it to me. You know, what more can I ask for? And that opened my eyes. We actually hadn't planned to have a baby so soon. I've always wanted to have kids. But I was young, I just turned 21 and found out I was pregnant with Ben.
If I look back now, it's almost like God set us up. Because we were at such a peace at that time, we were so confident in our relationship with God, and we were confident in our doctrine and in who we are in Christ.
The pregnancy was going very well. I was healthy. I was very energetic, surprisingly, very energetic, doing what I usually do. But there came a point where I did start to worry because we didn't have any medical insurance or medical aid, as we call it here. That limited me. It restricted me from getting into, you know, certain hospitals. And I remember I was in the bathroom and I cried and I thought to myself, we don't have any money. What are we gonna do? I don't wanna end up in a government hospital because I know people get treated there like they're cattle. And I cried. And Junaid came to me and told me, "Why are you crying? God is our source. God will provide for us. He will help us."
We went to the government hospital, Somerset. Kelly went for all her appointments. And then one night, after 9 months, one night, Benjamin was a bit late, a few days. Kellyanne said,
"I think my water's broken. I'm a first time mom. I don't know what to expect, what it's supposed to look like, how I'm supposed to feel." But somehow I just knew that, okay.
Got immediately into the car and off we went to Somerset hospital.
Junaid's speeding down the M5. And I'm moving up and down across the seat.
We got there, I said to the nurse, my wife's water broke. She's in labor, and then
They basically booked me in, and I had to lay on a bed, and they examined me. And not much communication, which I found surprising. But I didn't know what to expect. So I thought, okay, this is the norm at the hospital. And I just lay there and I cried and I called Janelle and I asked him, what am I doing here? I don't want to be here. No one's taking care of me. The nurse had injected me with morphine for the pain. I asked for something for the pain. And they injected me twice. That actually caused Ben to sort of fall asleep. And I was doing all the work by myself. That's why the labor was so long.
But after 27 hours, she still wasn't fully dilated.
And then finally, when I screamed, I need to push, a nurse came in to come and assist me.
And they said, okay, mommy, let's do this. Let's get baby out now.
So I'm laying on the bed and I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
So Kellyanne pushed and Benjamin came out a little bit, but then he came back in again.
And I remember him saying, just push, just focus on what you're doing. Don't worry about the pain. Don't worry about what's happening around you. Just push.
She found the strength and she pushed baby out. When he came out, he was blue.
You could basically hear a pin drop in the room, and I realized something's wrong here.
There was no life in him. He wasn't breathing or anything. The limbs just were limp. They rushed him to a table where they did CPR on him, put a mask on him, and they were trying to get him to breathe again.
It just didn't look good at all. The nurses were not communicating. They were stressed out, panicking.
So I looked at the boy and something's not right here. There was more conflict inside of me than anything, and I knew it needed to be dealt with. So I chose the side of God, and we took our stand and we shut out everything else. And we knew, this is our boy. I don't care what's happening at the moment, but we are going to have a perfectly normal boy.
And I just felt this peace. I can't explain it. I should have probably been a nervous wreck, but I felt this peace. And as I was looking at his body, he wasn't moving.
And immediately, Kellyanne looked and she started declaring the promises of God over Benjamin. She was saying,
you will live and you will not die. And I just prophesied what he was going to accomplish one day. He was going to spread the word of God to the nations. He was going to be a strong man of God. He was going to love the Lord with all his heart.
But they were struggling with him. I could see the nurses were getting frantic. They were calling for a doctor now. They were calling for help. Doctor didn't come. So I knew something is not right here. And then I started looking to outside circumstances.
Then he called our pastor, Pastor Lamb.
Fortunately, I was up at the time. And I heard this, you know, desperate call on the phone. Pastor, we need to pray.
And he said, Junaid, is the child breathing? I said, Pastor, no, he's not alive.
And we started calling on the name of the Lord. Then we started to pray. Because I believe that if two be agreed upon this earth, as touching anything that they shall ask of the Heavenly Father, it shall be done.
When they said amen, I looked at Ben and his chest literally lifted up.
And he took his first breath. They took him. And as the nurse moved him, they were shaking. The nurses were so nervous and they were shaking because they don't realize what just happened there. I walked over to him on the table where he was and I started praying for him. And the nurses let me do that before they moved him to the incubator. I did that, I prayed over him and I said, this boy is going to be 100%, he's going to be alive. And then from there, they had to move him to ICU.
Another nurse came in and she told me I needed to get up from my bed and I needed to walk to the next ward. And I thought to myself, but I'd just given birth.
When she tried to get up out of the labor ward bed and they were going to move her to a room, she fell flat on the floor.
And I didn't realize that I fainted for, I don't know, a minute or so. And she picked me up and she told me, you just fainted now, but don't worry, you're going to be okay.
So they took her to a room and they had to look after her. And I went down to Benjamin. She said, okay, go down to Ben. Now, you know, you can look after him. I wasn't going to allow anything negative to impact what God had promised us as far as Benjamin is concerned. We were focused on what God wanted to say. So I went down there with that attitude, at peace. And the doctor's report was not good at all. Because what happened with Benjamin is he had a lack of oxygen to his brain because of the extensive labor.
There were about 5 babies in my ward who died.
And the doctor just, he said, you know, it doesn't look like things very good with your son. You can look at his movement. His movement is erratic. And I said, you know, doctor, it's your responsibility to tell me what's wrong with the child. And it's my responsibility as a parent to believe for the best. And he said, no, you're right. And then I could speak to him and he could give me the prognosis. He said,
seizures is just one of the markers for hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy, which is called HIE. And the seizures is at the, you know, the farther end of the spectrum. So when you have seizures with patients with HIE, it suggests that the patient does have severe HIE.
So he said when Ben was born, he was in a 13 or 12. He was up there, and that's dangerous. That is near vegetable status. So I said, thank you, doctor. So the cause is the damaged brain cells. And he reaffirmed, he said, yes. So I walked over to Benjamin in front of him, and I spoke to those brain cells, just like Andrew taught. He said, you must speak to that mountain. So I spoke to those brain cells, and I spoke to the movement, and I commanded everything to be normal, and I commanded the brain cells to be whole and to be healed in Jesus' name. From there, I said, you know, my son is on medical aid now. I spoke to another doctor. So would it be better to take him then to a private hospital, to move him from this hospital to a private? And she said, oh yes. So we took him to a hospital called Vincent Pilate. When they got him at the hospital, which is the next day, he was at a 7. And then 4 days later, he was on a 1. And the day that he was going to be released, he was absolutely 0. He said, basically, he'll just only be a little bit more intelligent than Einstein.
He's the complete opposite of the doctor's prognosis.
And that boy is so far from what the doctor told me that I'll never forget him looking me in the face and saying, this boy's going to be retarded.
It was very negative, and God just turned it around.
The patient that comes out with completely normal symptoms or normal ability or even probably higher than normal IQ is a miracle. I mean, that's, you know, you say what you're saying exactly is that there was no residual damage to the neurons when that event happened.
After the birth of baby Benjamin, Junaid felt the need to further build on the foundation of truth that he had learned while in England. That led him to Charis Bible College in Heidelberg, South Africa, where he was discipled in the almost too good to be true gospel of God's love and grace. And as a CBC graduate, Junaid is helping to develop a youth-oriented Bible school. He's changing the world with God's truth. Junaid and Kellyanne now have 3 beautiful children, including Benjamin, all happy and healthy, and growing in the knowledge of God.
On Benjamin's birthday, we actually use his birthday as a milestone. I instituted this in our family as a godly tradition, where we celebrate Thanksgiving to God. We use that time of Benjamin's birth yearly just to remember the goodness of God towards us. So I spoke to those brain cells and I spoke to the movement, just like Andrew taught. He said, you must speak to that mountain. And God's word says he will live and he will not die, and he's healed.
The story you saw in today's program is in the God Wants You Well package. This package includes the entire God Wants You Well teaching series on your choice of CD or as seen on TV DVD, the God Wants You Well book, the companion study guide, the God Wants You Well booklet, and Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4. Together, the 4 Healing Journeys DVDs contain a total of 19 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. This package has a catalog value of $182, but today you can get these valuable resources for a gift of just $100 or more. In addition, all individual products mentioned on today's program can be ordered through our website by going to awmi.net and clicking on today's TV offer. Also, if you'd like to receive more of Andrew's teachings on healing, you can find them on the Healing MP3 drive. This easy-to-use card connects to your computer with an attached USB cable and includes over 43 hours of related teachings on healing. Purchased separately on CD, these teachings have a value of $268, but you can get them all in MP3 format on this Healing MP3 drive for a gift of $85 or more. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge.
Let me remind you that today is our last day to offer you the third teaching in this four-part set. If you were to write in and get the CDs or the DVDs, we ask for a donation of any amount for these products. But some people wouldn't send anything. They just are in a position where they cannot or will not send anything. So what we do is make all of this teaching available one CD at a time. And we are now ending our third teaching. Today is the last day that we will offer this third part entitled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? As our gift to you. So if you would like to receive this as a gift, please call or write today and receive these materials.
You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of April, he'll be in Mobile and Birmingham, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia, Toronto, Ontario, Detroit, Michigan, and in Chicago, Illinois. In May, he'll be in the Netherlands. And in July, he'll be in Durham, North Carolina, Washington, D.C., and in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
Bring the whole family and join Andrew and Jamie this summer for the Summer Family Bible Conference in Woodland Park, Colorado. For the first time ever, the conference will meet in the new sanctuary, June 30th through July 4th, vacation in Colorado, and celebrate the 4th of July with us. For more information, visit www.awmi.net.